Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, what's up? I am recording this intro because I recorded this episode with Vubang earlier in the evening, and as you all know, free agency, it comes at you quick, and just got news that Gary Payton II signed with the Portland Trail Blazers for $28 million over 3 years, and you know, I'm bummed that he's no longer going to be on the Warriors, but I said in previous episodes, you know, if he gets paid, if he gets a better deal somewhere else, you gotta go, gotta take it, right? I mean, he's 29, 30 years old, and he's been a journeyman his whole career, and he finally got an opportunity to get a long-term contract. You know, he earned it, right? Like, he was barely on this Warriors roster beginning of the season. And, you know, I mean, it's a great outcome for him because, remember, after he got fouled by Dylan Brooks, that dirty foul in the playoffs, he broke his elbow. And there were some people, myself included, who thought that it could have been a career-altering injury, right? That's his shooting elbow. Luckily, he came back for the finals, and he not only played, but was a huge, huge part for the Warriors and helping them win. And, you know, he got a ring. He got his title, and you know, he's moving on. It's going to be tough because the Warriors, they're still going to need that point of attack guard who's going to pick up all the younger, quicker, shiftier guards that, you know, maybe you don't want to put Steph on, you don't want to put Klay on at their ages, you don't want to waste Wiggins' energy on those guys. So maybe Ryan Rollins down the road could have been somebody that gives those minutes. And I said previously that maybe he was some Gary Payton II insurance. I don't think he can contribute right away, especially now that he has a broken foot and he'll miss summer league and probably get behind in his preparations for being in the NBA. But, you know, with Rollins, maybe by second half of the season, you can throw him in there for stretches and he can give you a little bit of defense, but maybe the Warriors will find somebody else. Who knows? But this is part of trying to keep a championship team together. And, you know, congratulations to Gary Payton II, and very much appreciate what he's done in a Warriors uniform and what he's brought to the squad. And, you know, same with JTA. We talk about him in this episode a little bit, but, you know, JTA, such a great story from Oakland, just that whole thing, playing for the hometown team, making the squad, getting his first contract, his first guaranteed contract with the Warriors, and now he's moving on to the Lakers. So, you know, wish him the best. Lakers, not so much. Anyway, that's it for the rest of this Tacked On intro, and enjoy the rest of the episode. Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and today, after like 20 years, Vubang is back on the show. What's up, Vubang?
Yeah, thanks for bringing me back. You know, I think that I'm only really good at during the off season, so this is where my butter is. My bread is.
This is where your bread is buttered, huh?
Yeah, my bread is buttered this way. I mean, my greatest time as a Warriors fan is usually the end of June through July and August. So yeah. I'm just the beginning of June.
Yeah, yeah. This is like, I always forget. I mean, the draft is always fun, of course, but like free agency, I usually just forget how actually entertaining it is. And like literally like, every year it's you know, entertaining either because something interesting happens for the Warriors or just some crazy NBA drama. Like I remember when everybody was trying to get Kawhi and then he held off pretending that he might go to the Lakers. And then everybody else got signed. And then at the very end, he said, "Now I'm going to go with the Clippers." And there was no one left for the Lakers to sign. And then this year, I do want to just start off with the weirdest thing of the day. I mean, maybe it's not that weird in hindsight, but Kevin Durant saying he wants out of Brooklyn. We don't want to get too deep into this because it's neither here nor there, but I do want to get your thoughts on just the whole situation and just, you know, where you think he'll end up.
I just think it's hilarious that the ESPN free agency special had to start an hour early, like before they expected to, just because this news dropped. I mean, that was hilarious. I wish I was there for it live to see it happen. But my initial thought is, I mean, this couldn't have been a better offseason, right? My initial thoughts about this offseason are there's nothing better than to be in the off season when the Warriors have just won a championship. I think that's what everybody's thoughts are. But what I think people aren't really talking about is the Warriors are also, for the first time in many, many years, completely healthy. And so you have both of those factors coming in, and then you have this Durant situation blowing up. Like, this is an amazing position. Oh, sorry, I forgot Rollins is injured with his fifth MARTA metamucil or whatever it's called, the bone that connects the small toe to the ankle, as I read. But yeah, I mean, this couldn't have gone any better. I just love watching this, and I can't wait to start talking about where Durant might end up. But I do want to say the Warriors spin is, I just love how a third of the conversations are about Durant getting traded back to the Warriors. Just want to note that while Ben Simmons is on the Nets, because he signed a rookie extension deal, I've never heard of this in the CBA before, but because Andrew Wiggins is also on some sort of weird rookie extension deal, you can't have more than one player with that contract on the same team. So Andrew Wiggins cannot be packaged in a contract for Durant. I can't believe we're even talking about this if Ben Simmons is still on the team. So Ben Simmons would have to be in the trade.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's a weird rule, but yeah, I don't think that Kevin Durant should even be anywhere close to the Warriors at this point. I said this in the last episode that all these Kevin Durant rumors that were going around last week, it's just silly. And, you know, he said that his desired destinations are, once again, the best team in the record wise in the league, right? When he came to the Warriors, they were a 73 win team. And he wants to go to the Suns or the Heat. I have no idea. I wouldn't mind seeing him in Portland just because I'm curious to see what it would be like if he played with Dame, even though that's in the West. But the thing that I'm actually scratching my head about is, you know, where Kyrie is going to end up, because he's saying he wants to go to the Lakers, and how's that going to happen? I don't know. It's getting into all the leverage and like how to make it work. It's kind of a headache to some extent. But, you know, we're on this big group text, right? And it's funny to me because we were just all going off on this KD news. But to me, it's just like all this chatter about how KD is, you know, seeing the Warriors win another title without him, that there's maybe some pettiness there or whatever. Who knows? I don't follow that stuff. But just the fact that if it weren't for KD agreeing to that D'Lo sign and trade and everything, then, you know, he could have just signed with the Nets outright as a free agent after 2019. That is exactly the reason why the Warriors were able to make enough moves to be contenders, you know, to make their roster a little bit younger. And it gave them Andrew Wiggins, it gave them Jonathan Kuminga, and it gave them flexibility moving forward, at least trying to plan a couple years ahead.
They did get a pick out of it.
They did. They did. Yeah. The Nets got it. Where is that pick now?
I'd have to go deep into the research for that. I do think that websites that explain where picks go should actually be better, should get better UI, because it's like you're looking at a spreadsheet that was uploaded onto Web 1.0 when I'm trying to research who has whose picks anyway. I think it was heavily protected, as I recall, like top 24 protected or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the kind of guys who are into that stuff, they're not really big on design.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think So Brooklyn never actually benefited at all except for that pick, right? It's not like they get his bird rights or they get anything in particular, right? By doing the sign and trade, all they really benefit from is that one pick, and the Warriors benefit from taking on a player while exceeding the cap, right?
Right. Exactly.
And he was petty enough to ask for a first round pick instead of a second round. It was originally supposed to be a second round, if you remember.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird to me because I've always said that all the hate that KD gets from some Warriors fans, I don't get. I think it's weird. But as KD's story evolves, it just gets stranger and stranger, you know?
It gets sadder, really.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, somewhat of his stature, of his greatness, it's just odd. It's weird. You know, there have been a lot of Hall of Fame players who've moved from team to team. You know, LeBron's moved to a bunch of teams. Jason Kidd was on a bunch of teams, whatever. But just the way it's going and wherever he ends up, there's going to be some criticism no matter where he ends up. And it's just going to keep following him and following him. But
it just makes the story of his career even stranger when you consider that he got drafted by the Seattle Supersonics and he played 1 year in Seattle. Like, I feel like in some ways it's been downhill ever since. But the only way to make up for all this is when he becomes part owner or full owner of the Seattle Supersonics. Like, that's his city. And that's his city. There's really no other city that's his. It's Seattle.
The last thing I'll ask about KD is, like, pick the one team you would want to see him on for whatever reason.
I mean, I think that I'm going to take all of the considerations about what trades can actually happen, cap space, where KD would actually want to play, which is all legacy based, and essentially say, you know, he can't go to Boston, he can't go to the Suns, he can't go to the Heat. Those are sort of like, he's just going to spend 2 years getting all the Warrior jokes, Warrior 73 win jokes, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really think it's got to be New Orleans or Portland. Like, those are the places that if he goes to, he's not going to get the same shit. And there are players on each team that can, you know, that complement him. I would really just love to see Zion for KD, because then you get to see Zion in New York and KD surrounded by a lot of great players. I don't think Zion really works at all with the Pelicans. I think the only team, based on what the Nets have, the red carpet that they rolled out for Kyrie and KD, like, they would just do the same for Zion. What about you?
Like I said earlier, I would love to see him in Portland just to see him with Dame. I think the Pelicans make sense too, for the same reasons. I don't obviously want to see him with the Suns, although if the Suns make a trade for him, then they'd probably have to give up a bunch of their dudes, you know, whether it's Ayton, Bridges, and some picks or whatever, Cam Johnson, who knows what combination it is, but they become really thin all of a sudden. So I'm curious to see, like, I don't know their cap situation. Would they be able to sign anyone else? Would it all just be minimums?
They just lost JaVale McGee. So I don't know what they're going to do if they lose Ayton as well.
I just want the story to go away, to be honest, too.
What? Like, are you serious? I want this to last all summer. This will be great.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want to see either Kyrie or KD go to the Lakers or anything like that. I wouldn't mind. Like, to me, Portland and New Orleans would be great because those are smaller markets and there's talent there and he could lift them up, you know what I mean? And it would be a greater challenge. I don't want to see him go to Boston or Miami. It feels like those would just be, like you said, him just jumping on the bandwagons. But also it's like, you know, everybody ends up in Miami, you know what I mean? And
he's a little too young to end up in Miami. He's got to wait a few years.
Right.
What do you think of the West? Can we talk about the West now after some of the moves we've seen?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think in the West, if you just want to go like by the rankings of it, I still put the Warriors at the top. Cause I'm a homer and no one else has proven, you know, obviously like a lot of these rosters are in flux, but I don't think anybody at the top of the West got better today. The Clippers, they signed Batum. That guy always seems to be a free agent and just signs with the Clippers again and again. They're probably second to me.
After getting John Wall or regardless, just getting back Kawhi and Paul George.
Getting back Kawhi and Paul George primarily. I actually forgot about the John Wall thing. I think that definitely helps them. I'm curious to see what they do with him. I mean, some guy who's been out for a while. When he played after his injury, I mean, he wasn't terrible. I mean, he was still John Wall playing the John Wall game. But is he going to pout and want to start over Reggie Jackson? I don't know. We'll see. After that, you know, it could be the Grizz. They're just improving every step of the way. Jaren Jackson also has a foot, a broken foot issue.
4 to 6 months out.
Yeah, that's rough. And, you know, obviously, like with a big man, that's always a big question mark.
They could very easily be this year's Atlanta Hawks.
They could.
And just take a step back instead of taking a step forward. The Mavs. I want to talk about the Mavs.
Yeah, so I'd had the Mavs. Well, I actually have the Nuggets at four. Gotcha. That's a kind of a risky pick there, but you know, I think that they can get there. Part of it is because you don't know how Murray or Michael Porter Jr. will look when they're back, but I think that if one of them comes close to how they were before, that's going to help them a lot. I had the Mavs before. I had the Mavs at fourth, but now maybe fifth. It's tough, right? Because like the whole Brunson thing, man. I mean, what do you think of all this? Where do you put the Mavs?
I mean, they got JaVale McGee, right? And they also got Christian Wood.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I think those guys will cause the Warriors some trouble. But, I mean, losing Jalen Brunson, who is one of the only backcourt guys who could probably play with Luka somehow, just because he's already done it. Mm-hmm. It'll just be interesting. I also have a quick segue into New York. I love how everybody's been talking about Jalen Brunson going to the Knicks as if it was like a Spike Lee movie that everyone's been talking about for 2 years. It's just so hilarious that he's put on a pedestal. I think it's great for New York. But, you know, it's Jalen Brunson. I also think that it's funny that all the criticism from I'm hearing from the Knicks about sort of like, oh, you know, it's not that big a deal, blah, blah, blah. I do want to talk about the other side of things, which is like, this is one of the first free agents of significance that actually picked the Knicks. I mean, this Knicks exceptionalism, which doesn't really exist anywhere. Like if they actually drafted and picked players and convinced players in free agency as if they were based in Indiana, they might actually do better than sitting there in their ivory tower at MSG thinking like, don't you want to play for the Knicks? I just get a sense that this feels like the Warriors 2013, you know, when Andre Iguodala chose the Warriors, and this is the first piece that actually said, hey, you know, I want to play here. And then you draft well, and you get a few more free agents and you get better and better. Obviously I don't think RJ Barrett is Steph Curry, but I think it's a good initial move. So
that's a positive spin on it. I've kind of been critical of the move, but if it's like around $25 million, which I think is what I'm hearing, then it's not like they're giving him, you know, $40 million, right? So it makes sense to some degree for them just to get, like you said, that guy who can maybe start the free agency caravan over the next year or two. Maybe it could, you know, draw some other guys. I just don't know if would you put him in the top 30 players in NBA? Top 40?
I would say top 40. Yeah, I would say, yeah, say top 40. But like in terms of top guards, I mean point guards, I mean top 12.
Here's my question: who do you take, him or D'Angelo Russell?
Oh, that's funny. I think I'd take Jalen Brunson because at least he tries on defense and he's feistier. You know, I don't get D'Lo at all.
Yeah, okay. I would take Jalen Brunson too because he's just a better point guard. Even though he's only 6'1", he's stocky and he actually tries on defense. So, but it hurts the Mavs a lot. I just don't Definitely. Know what moves. I'm curious to see what they'll do. So all of a sudden, like, this was the Mavs. They made it to the Western Conference Finals. They needed to add some pieces, like, you know, a center or something. And they got Christian Wood, and then now they just lost basically their second best player.
I like how he didn't even answer their calls. He basically just bounced. That's hilarious. They didn't even give him a chance to match.
I mean, that's the kind of drama of free agency that is.
I mean, they spurned him twice.
Yeah, like they could have extended him, right? And they didn't.
And about his contract, I know it might seem like a lot for a guy who's like the not top 12, maybe potentially not top 10 guard, but the new CBA is coming.
There's no
up.
Potentially there, man. There's no potential.
Okay. All right. They're negotiating the TV contract, and there's going to be another spike, right, in the salary cap. It's going to be smoothed out this time. It's not going to be another like Kevin Durant hole in the Warriors cap, which would have been great. But this 110 over 4 years is not going to seem like a lot of money in 3 years. And this pertains to the Warriors too. Whoever the Warriors signed today is 7 times the tax implication for their salary. So, you know, signing Loon for $8 million is $50 million total. But it's not going to mean much in 2024.
The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right, make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major actions for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. I'm looking forward to all those Giants-Dodgers matchups because it's just one of the best rivalries in sports. So we'll see what the odds are for those. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code TBPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Do you disagree with any of my rankings so far? So it's the Warriors, Clippers, Grizzlies, Nuggets, Mavericks.
Yeah, I think that makes sense for the regular season. I would not put the Clippers up there for the playoffs. I don't think those three guys last more than two rounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation for sure, right?
I mean, I was the one that predicted CP3 like breaking down the last
two games.
You did, right?
Yeah.
I was like, how come, why is he playing so many minutes?
Yeah. You texted me during the season. You were like, Chris Paul is playing every game and he's playing tons of minutes. And I looked at his stats at that point and I was like, oh my God, he's played every game. And then he got hurt and I was like, oh, well, that's a break for him. But then he still petered out. That's why I said after the Suns lost to the Mavericks, I was like, their window's closed. I mean, obviously, if they get KD, then it's a whole different kind of window, but CP3, as great as he is, he's just, I mean, it's kind of like the LeBron AD thing. Like, you just don't really know how many games they'll be able to play. And Chris Paul, unless they figure out how to rest him and they find a backup point guard who's better than Campaign and can actually just play more minutes and play and start some games during the season, then CP3 is not going to be able, I mean, however old he is, I mean, how old is he?
Like 37.
38? 37? Yeah. So he'll be 38 in next year's playoffs. I mean, look at Andre Iguodala, man. Like,
yeah. It's insane. It's the regular season. Did not, someone not tell him?
Yeah, it was one of those things that just felt like, you know, the Suns were going after the best record in their history, the same way the Warriors went for the best record in NBA history almost.
Let's remind everybody that in the four major sports, the team that has their best regular season record of all time never won the championship that year.
So who do you have sixth?
After all that, I mean, also, I also think the Grizzlies should be higher. I'm afraid of the Grizzlies. Like, I'm definitely afraid.
Like, okay.
But, you know, who knows what JJJ is going to do, but also I also think that they might slip back. There's a lot of Clippers like vibes from like whatever 2015 or something where they haven't actually earned anything, but they're walking around like they have.
Yeah.
But I'm still scared of them.
Basketball gods don't smile upon that kind of blustery stuff sometimes, you know? So we've seen how that's bitten the Clippers. So you would actually have Warriors, Grizzlies, and then Clippers?
Yeah, I just don't trust the Clippers. I mean, during the regular season, they're going to load manage all those guys. And I don't trust them in the playoffs.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think theoretically it's a great team. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be crazy next year. I wouldn't discount the Timberwolves or the Pelicans either.
So at six, I would probably slide in. I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because this is like the first day of free agency and the KD stuff isn't settled. But I could potentially go with the Suns at six. I think I had them there in my mind before. I could slot them in there. And then after that, I think I would give it to the Wolves, you know? I think the Jazz are going to fall off. And then to me, it's like after the Wolves, maybe the Jazz or Pelicans. I don't know. That's where it gets a little foggy for me. Again, Pelicans depends. Hey, if they end up getting a healthy Zion, then and it works out, then they move up. If they trade for KD, even more so.
I think if you think John Wall, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George are going to make it through the season next year, then I think you should also assume that Zion would. If you're that optimistic person.
Then, yeah, so I take the Wolves at seven and then the Pelicans at eight. I'm going to put the Jazz in the play-in. Yeah,
my bad. Yeah, I feel like there's going to be a trade. The Jazz, there's going to be some sort of trade involving the Jazz.
I mean, they're just so stale, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why Quinn Snyder left.
Yeah, I mean, he'd been there for 8 years and they plateaued. And they showed who they really were. They were like the 2014-2015 Atlanta Hawks last season.
Yeah. And if the Kings were any other team playing for any other city, I might say that I'd like them for the play-in, but they're the Kings. So
where do you put the Lakers and the Blazers?
I think the Blazers are going to be terrible this year. Mm-hmm. I just don't see – don't forget that Dame is coming back from an injury as well. Mm-hmm. It was like a stomach injury. It's not like it's something that they can really explain,
which is important, but it's not like a leg injury at least.
But it's like a core injury.
Yeah.
It's injury to your core. Yeah. And I don't like, I mean, obviously I just don't like the Lakers this year. I mean, unless they rest Russ, I mean, are they going to have the guts to not play Russ?
They will. They will. I think they will. They have to, because if they don't, after an offseason of trying to move him, and, you know, Rob Pelinka and Darvin Ham, they've said that they've sat down with him and talked about what's expected, whether or not he's going to buy in and do some of the things that he needs to do, which they've said include playing better defense. I don't even know if he can. Then we'll see. I hope. I mean, I'm really looking forward to another year of Russ on the Lakers, man. I mean,
I just looked it up. I still can't believe. Do you know how much money he's getting paid this year?
$47 million.
$47 million.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's insane. So good. It's insane. And it's wild because at least when Chris Paul kept signing for bigger contracts, I was like, man, remember when he got traded to OKC? It was like, oh man, he's just going to end his career there and they're going to be terrible. And his contract is not going to be able to get moved. And, you know, good on him. I mean, he brought OKC either to the playoffs, like the first round, or almost to the playoffs. And then, you know, he made the Suns who they are now. You know, he transformed.
Have you ever seen Russell Westbrook like talk to another teammate to give him advice or get him to be a better basketball player?
Only that one time last season where AD and LeBron were sitting on the bench kind of like stewing. They were pissed about something or like, you know, mad about a loss. And Russ was up there, you know, walking up to them, trying to cheer them up and everything, or say some stuff to encourage them. Couldn't hear what he said. He was facing away, so couldn't even try to read his lips. But like, it was just one of those memes that went around where like AD and LeBron wanted nothing to do with whatever he was saying. So that's the only time. That's the only time I've ever seen him, you know, do some kind of attempt, some kind of leadership, get the morale of the team up. You know, what would have helped the morale of the team is if he actually, you know, tried to do the things that would help the team win. One thing about Russ that maybe I've said this before, but maybe I haven't said it to you. It's like the thing about Russ and people that defend him are like, you know, he's so emotional. He'll do whatever it takes to win. And then my response to that is like, he'll do whatever it takes to win, except the things that the team needs him to do to win. You know, like he'll only do the things that are flashy, that he enjoys. He's not going to play defense. He's not going to become a better shooter. He's not going to spot up.
Spot up to do what?
Well, exactly. He's not a better shooter. So I look forward to that. I mean, the one thing is the Lakers got Juan Toscano-Anderson. They picked him up, which was kind of expected once, you know, I heard that he signed with Clutch and Rich Paul. It was like, oh, it seems like a connection with the Lakers makes the most sense. And I wish JTA the best. I wish I hope like his time there ends up better personally for him than Kent Bazemore's did this past season.
Well, the good news about the Lakers signing Juan Toscano as well as Damian Jones and Lonnie Walker is, I think Lonnie Walker is coming in at the mid-level exception, right? Which means they're not going to be able to go after Otto Porter. I think Otto Porter was on their list.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And the fact that all the Warrior free agents have been quiet so far is probably a good sign. That means they weren't sort of negotiating with other teams. I hope that means that they've been negotiating with the Warriors.
The fact that there was no news on Looney getting an offer or GP2 getting an offer, all that stuff bodes well. I mean, you mentioned that Dallas has interest in Gary Payton II. You know, I mean, they're dealing with the Brunson and stuff today. They might get an offer out tonight. Who knows? But, you know, hopefully we can keep those guys. And personally, I think Otto Porter Jr., if he gets an offer for like more than the minimum somewhere and it's a decent team, yeah, you know, he might take it. But I don't know what other teams have in terms of cap space right now.
It's crazy because I kept thinking he was older, but I looked at his age again. He's 29. Like he's within the sort of the middle level age range of players that can stay long term. But he's just not. He doesn't play like a 29-year-old at all. Like you got to bubble wrap.
60-year-old then.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I agree. It's really just Looney and Gary Payton that I'm worried about.
Yeah, and if you know, and I've said this already before, it's like I would love to keep a roster spot for Andre Iguodala, you know, if they can afford to have him. So
yeah, the Udonis Haslam role.
Yeah, man, just him talking to the old heads, to the young dudes, to Kerr. Like he is helpful to everybody in the organization, to be honest. You know,
it's crazy because it makes so much a bigger difference to be the 15th man on the bench versus a coach. Like you look at Andre Iguodala in uniform, not playing at all as a 15th man. And then you look at Barbosa in a suit and like the players barely pay attention to Barbosa, but they listen intently. Like it doesn't matter if you're a player versus a coach. Yeah. So yeah, I hope it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they also want to keep that 15th spot open. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, man. Well, welcome back. And I look forward to hearing more of your takes during basically your season, which is the off season.
Which is great. Yeah. I can't wait for us to come up with the random, like, oh, we still have to rank the top 10 fan favorite Warrior lineups, right? That's still in the books.
Oh, man, I don't even remember. I'll take a look at that spreadsheet soon enough. All right, man. Well, good to have you on. This has been another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick Epino, E-P-I-N-O, or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check out our website, OaklandWarriors.com. And be sure, please, to tell your Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society and is a part of the Basketball Podcast Network. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts and say nice stuff about us in a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be hugely appreciated and helpful. Thanks for listening, and that's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.